Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, y'all. Tuck Carlson here, introducing my new video series, Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot. I don't care what you fly. Warbird pilots are the coolest, and I can teach you how to be one. Best part is, you don't even need a plane. Hell, you don't even need to know what a warbird is just by my video. Inside, you'll learn all the important stuff, like how to fit a flight suit around a beer belly, and why that beer belly is a safety feature. How to ignore small children at air shows. I ain't got time for that. How to grow your ego and sign unreadable autographs. Plus, you'll learn why freedom's the greatest answer to any question. Hey, Tuck, why do you fly these awesome airplanes? For freedom. Or when your wife finds out how much you've spent? Damn it, Tuck. Why'd you spend $6,000 on Avgas? For freedom. So for freedom's sake, buy my video. Before long, people be thinking you're somebody. You'll be sitting around campfires with real women, signing autographs, and petting pretty little baby bald eagles that you grew in redwood trees that you planted beside your hangar. Be awesome, love freedom, and get your copy of Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot right now. Hey, y'all, hurry, and I'll toss in a special bonus pack. Tuck Carlson's How to Look Good in Short Shorts Late at Night and in the Pilot Briefing. Trust me, short shorts are the coolest things ever. Call now.
Supporting bees the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Well, good evening, everybody. Matt Jolly here with you for the 21st of March, 2017, Safety Month here at warbirdradio.com. Glad to be with you tonight. We have a great show. And our guest this evening, true innovators within the industry, and we're really looking forward to talking with Robert Janicek tonight from Team Frost, as well as Mr. Dan Hollowell, he's the Director of Operations for the International Council of Air Shows, the international organization that takes care of the air show industry and provides many services for both performers and for organizers. But a quick thank you to our sponsors tonight, avi-8.co.uk. Aviate Timepieces, that's who we're talking about. Aviate Timepieces honor both the aircraft and the untold story of the airman. You can check out their awesome lineup of Aviate Timepieces by visiting avi-8.co.uk. Now, again, that's avi-8.co.uk. You can choose from six of their popular watch themes, including the Harry. Now, they're all there waiting for you, again, at avi-8.co.uk. Our thanks to our friends there at Aviate Timepieces. Robert Janicek, one of the founders of Team Frost, is standing by right now via the telephone from Charlotte, North Carolina. Joe Sarber, he's still in the shop putting the finishing touches on one of their vehicles. Bob, tell us what Frost stands for. When we hear Team Frost, hey, what is that?
How are you doing this evening, Matt?
I'm doing
Frost
great.
Frost stands for the Fast Response Operations Safety Team.
Fast Response Operations Safety Team. How did this idea come about?
Well, as you know, I'm a long-time Warbird air show fan and became a Warbird pilot years ago and kind of got into the air show circuit. And, you know, I always saw a need when we did performances as far as trying to make sure the pilot and crew are safe. I know the air show industry does its best, and we rely extremely heavy on the local fire departments. And a lot of the areas that we have air shows, there's just not a huge aviation base of knowledge and things. So I always thought it was kind of put those guys at a disadvantage when we have all these exotic aircraft, warbirds, you know, Pitts, extra 300s, just such a variety. And we're relying on, in many cases, volunteer fire departments to be able to respond and understand what's going on in the air show environment. So as we all know, we've lost some friends in the past to some slow responses and things like that, and I wanted to fill that void and make sure we keep our air show performer family safe.
Now, you guys have done a lot of research into this and studied a lot of after-action reports. Of course, the list, there aren't that many where we can pinpoint that time was the issue, but that aside, one is too many, right? So you've done all the research, and what have you come up with to solve this problem? I think this is the really cool thing here.
Right, and we kind of sat down and thought, you know, how do we narrow that time frame down? And talking air show performance stuff, you know, obviously everyone was afraid of fire and things like that, which there's a reason to. And if you have an incident where aircraft goes off the runway or is down, you have a very short time period to get that small fire out. In many cases, it's extremely small. You know, a lot of the aerobatic planes carry just a couple gallons of gas to complete the performance. So we're not looking for a huge vehicle that can douse a 737 or, a Gulfstream or something like that. We're just looking for something extremely small, fast, and maneuverable that can get there and extinguish a small fire before it spreads. And that's why we came up with these special fast and quick response vehicles that we can get there, you know, eliminate any small fires, and then wait on the bigger trucks that obviously are on the way, you know, from the local fire department. Our goal isn't to replace any fire department by any means, because, like I said, our vehicles aren't designed to do that. Our vehicles are designed to stop those things that would really hurt or kill a pilot in the first couple minutes after an incident, and that's what our goal is.
I think it's great. We're talking about safety all month long here at Warbird Radio, and Bob Janicek and his partner Joe Sarber have developed Team Frost there to really be the folks that arrive there. And you're hoping, your goal is within 30 seconds of impact or an incident.
Our ultimate goal, based on thorough communication, we'll have full contact with the air boss and the other fire department, everything else. And like I said, our team's comprised of emergency response folks, and most of us are in the air show industry. So we're looking at out for family, and we've seen, I hate to say it, if you go to enough air show acts, you know what's going on when you see, say, for instance, the class of 45 or Matt Youngkin or something like that. You've seen the routine enough that you know just by watching if something's not right. So our goal is to, begin a response before an incident even happens. And based on the fact that we do travel with the air show circuit so often. And like I said, that's our ultimate goal, is to get there and be of assistance before, anything stops moving almost.
All right. I like it. Now, let's give some folks at home the practical knowledge of this, because there's a lot of stuff that we can learn from these innovative ideas, like Frost is bringing to the table with these fast, rapid response vehicles. But Bob, you're a pilot, you're a Warbird enthusiast. What can we take away from this and apply to our day-to-day flying that we're going to be doing here as we're coming out of winter, we're coming out of annual? What do you want everybody to know this time of year? What's your take on safety?
Like I said, the first couple months, everyone's a little rusty, and like I said, we want to make sure everyone's up on their routines, and we have some great air bosses out there, and they always tell me, if something doesn't feel right, don't do it. And that's, I know there's pressure from the air shows and things like that, but I think that is one of the big factors, that if something doesn't seem right, it probably isn't. I'm a police officer, and 9 times out of 10, if you get the spider sense, something is not right. So always in the back of your mind, keep that and be the one that says, hey, George Klein or Ralph, I'm going to stand down for a couple minutes. Something just doesn't seem right. Move on to the next guy that's already warming up. And along that lines with the safety thing with your flight crews, ICAST started a great program to where we have the extrication plans, and that's something our team does. We help develop those, and we'll make sure they're on hand to all the rescue personnel that are working that day, and we obviously have them also. Like I said, all these aircraft are such a wide variety and have multiple levels and differences to get into them, and where you should touch, where you shouldn't touch, master switches, things like that. And it's super important, especially for us that are out there, to make sure we're familiar with how to get you out of the darn thing and how to turn some stuff off. Part of our job is to relay that to the on-field personnel once they arrive on scene also.
All right, let's talk nuts and bolts here, because the fast response units that you have designed with you and Joe, now you've taken some design elements, I think, if I remember right, from folks that fight brush fires, even from NASCAR, and these units,
right,
you have three of them. They're pretty intense, Bob. I mean, really and truly, they are.
They are. We wanted to go for the biggest and best, so we teamed up with K&M, and we have the largest four-wheel ATV they have, the Can-Am Outlander Max. 1,000 cc, and we did some testing, and we had them up to 75 miles an hour, which seems a little crazy on an ATV. And then we teamed that up with some of the state-of-the-art compressed air foam systems. And it doesn't sound like a lot. You know, we carry 21 gallons of liquid, but it's charged with the 3,000 PSI cylinder that's also attached to it. So when you activate the unit, it's a fail-safe, so there's no engines or anything else you have to start like a lot of those other ones. You activate it, and you're good to go. And we have 600 or 700 gallons of foam once it's once the reaction starts. So, and like I said, that's mainly to keep any fire off a pilot, to extinguish any small fire, and by that time, one of our other units will arrive, and we have plenty of stuff to help keep that area of the plane safe until the bigger trucks arrive.
Now, what about you and Joe and the folks that are on the ground there with Team Frost? What have you done for your own personal protection in this regard? Because this is not like you're showing up suited up all the time in a 100-degree environment on the air show ramp. I mean, it's really, really hot. And you have to be able to hear. So I don't want you to divulge the trade secrets if you don't want to, but I think it's really important to talk about this, because this is why it's been so innovative.
Right. And if you think about it, I'm from Charlotte, which is NASCAR country. And, Roush Racing's big in the Warbird community and a couple other folks. And, you know, we kind of team it up. We're kind of copy their method. You know, they have their own units that travel with the NASCAR circuit, do their specialized training, and they have special equipment. Their communication is extremely important. Their fast response is also critical. Usually those guys are moving before the NASCAR vehicles come to a stop. Like I said, communications, we're always in touch with the air boss, the local fire department, with each other. We have standard fire suits from Simpson that give us a little bit more maneuverability when we're out on the scene. But we will be, you know, for all our Warbird friends and air show friends that fly out there, you know, we will be suited up and ready to go at any time there's a plane in the air, because we don't want to be that one that's caught with our pants down, literally. So
right.
if there's a plane running, you'll be
ready to go,
suited up and ready to go if we have to sweat it out for a while. We do have some stuff planned for the hotter summer months to keep us cool. And there again, NASCAR has some cool suits that we're kind of tinkering with. And
all right.
Yeah, just don't stand downwind when we get to the trailer afterwards.
There you go. All right, let's go to the phones here, Bob, and see what we got on the line. Good evening, caller. You're with Bob Yanicek.
Hey, Matt Jolly. How you doing?
Hey, it's Cookie. It's Cookie. We all know Cookie. Jim Cookie Crumb. Glad you called in tonight, Jim. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, these guys are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they found a niche in a market, if you want to call it that, but in an industry that really needed something. And, you know, one of the things we were doing, you know, at ICAST was talking about this. And if you've, you know, ever done a military show, I have a background in military shows, and, you know, you normally have folks that, you know, this is their job. They do it 24/7, and that's great, but they do it where it's a C5 or a KC-10 or a F-16 or something like that. And you happen to mention the word a pits or an extra, and they're like, what are you talking about? An extra airplane? No, it's an extra, the type of airplane. So these guys have found a niche. And, you know, when it comes to the big shows, the big military shows and that sort of thing, I think they could have a great advisory role of, yeah, you guys have all the bells and whistles and the trucks and everything else to do it. But I've seen Matt Yonkin's show, you know, every weekend. I've seen, you know, Kent Peacher pick a performer. And I understand, you know, they understand the airplane and they understand the egress piece and the extraction piece and some of those, you know, they're able to be the resident expert to assist or advise some of those bigger shows. So if there's a fire chief or a unit or somebody that's reluctant, going, you know, we do this every day, that we are trained professionals, I got it. But there's more advice that these guys can give to find that niche, to make sure that you know, if something was to happen, they're able to reach out and save them in a timely manner.
I think it's well said, Jim. Well said. Glad you called in tonight, Cookie. Good to hear your voice. And I'm looking forward to seeing you out there. We're going to be together here in a few more weeks. So
yeah, it's getting close, isn't it?
Getting close. Jim is a great air boss, and And our hat's off to you for your air bossing and also for what you do every day, Jim. Thanks so much. Good to hear your voice.
Thanks, sir.
All right.
Good job, guys.
All right, Jim Crum, everybody. Yeah, that was cool, Bob. So there you go.
He had actually a couple of excellent points. You know, we've been talking to a lot of military shows, and they have some great equipment, but a lot of bases, their equipment won't even go in grass. That was one of their issues. You get the giant trucks, and they'll just sink right into the turf, and you know, you never know where the airplane will go down. And a lot of these airports, especially in the Florida and along the coast, are in some very soft or marshy areas, and usually the aerobatic boxes in the grass. So that's always been a big concern, that you know, how can a vehicle get to it? And that's why we developed these quick response and fast response teams that pretty much can go just about anywhere a person can walk. You know, it's a standard ATV, but it's highly modified.
Right. And I like what one of the air bosses that we all know and love says a lot. He says, and I won't quote his name because he can't call in and defend this comment if I get it wrong, but he always says, you know, air show accidents seem to happen either right up front and center, or just way, way, way away where you can hardly see them. And so I think that 50% of these, you're going to be able to be there within just nanoseconds. And on the stuff that's further away, you know, you're probably going to be able to get there a lot faster than some of these larger trucks, just because of what you just said, and that is the accessibility that your vehicles have, that the others
correct.
Don't.
You know, it's a lot of these airfields and stuff, they have a lot of remote property that, you know, most people don't access on a regular basis. So, you know, part of our plan is when we do an air show, we obviously look at the area, get there a couple days early, scout out, you know, possible, you know, problem locations and things like that, areas to get in and out, any locked fences, things like that. So we make sure all that's pre-planned out. Like I said, our ultimate goal is to keep the performer safe. I think for years, everyone's concentrated on the fans, which I think that the airship industry has a tremendous record on keeping the fans safe. A lot of the rules that ICAST has come up with as far as where the performances are done. But like I said, it's always been a little bit of a lacking in the performer safety. And I think that's really important because we're all a very tight-knit group.
Yeah, you do what you can do. And we're going to hear from Dan Hollowell about some really cool things that ICAST has put together now for the performer. They're doing a spring training camp this year. So we're going to hear about some of the innovative ideas that have come forward. But you're absolutely right. When it comes to spectator safety at air shows, ICAST has done, in my opinion, a stellar job in developing this from the days of, you know, of the hay trailer performer that the announcer stood up there and the guys landed in the field. I mean, that was the root of all of this, right? Was the barnstorming days. So we've come pretty far.
And like I said, but there's some FAs. The FAA has actually stepped up, and you know, everyone, you know, you say those three letters, and some people cringe, but they've really come forward, and they also saw a need for some more, you know, a little bit better response to some of these incidents to help the performer out. And they've come out with some new guidelines that really crank down on that response time. And I think they've actually been very supportive of us.
Well, and ICAST had a big hand in that, and I think that a lot of people don't realize that, but ICAST had a lot of, they had a lot to do with the rulemaking and during the comment period. So, you know, my hat's off to these guys up at ICAST, International Council of Air Shows, doing such great work. And Dan's going to be here to kind of unfold some of that onion, a little peel it away a little bit more and come up with some great stuff. Bob, one thing I want to ask you, because and maybe you're not going to want to answer this question. This would be the only the one that I think there's a lot of people who are going to hear this, and we think pilots are type A personalities and have some ego to protect. But I want you to put at ease the fire chief or the emergency response professional that may hear this show,
right?
And put to bed the idea of you coming in there and doing what they're supposed to be doing or what they're capable of doing better than you as they see it.
Right, and we've talked about this, and like I said, I'm public safety, and so is Joe and all our guys. In no way are we there to replace any of the firefighter guys. That's their city and their airport, and you know, they do a great job. So we're just there to fill that niche, to actually help them, to basically augment, you know, their action plan to make it that much better. And it, like I said, ultimately the goal is safety for the flight crews, and we're not there to replace anybody. We're there just to assist them in any way possible, and with our specialized equipment and state-of-the-art stuff, you know, we want to make them look good if there's ever an incident. And like I said, the safety of the pilots, number one.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And I know you and Joe both, you both have a heart for this and a passion for this industry. And I think that that comes out in what you're doing. Tell the folks where you're going to be, because if folks would like to see this up close, if we have some show organizers and promoters that are listening tonight, where can they see you?
Yeah, our first show coming up is this weekend down in Brunswick, Georgia, at the Golden Isle Air Show with the Blue Angels and the Raptor and Class 45 and a whole list of our other friends that are going to be down there. And that'll be the first chance that people get to see Team Frost, hopefully not in action. Obviously, we're the... we are the act that we hope we never have to perform. But we'll definitely be there ready and speaking to all the performers and making sure we're good to go when that wavered space goes into effect.
Now, this is one of John Kalman's shows, and I think he's one of the forward-thinking show promoters and organizers in our industry. And I think it's great that John got on board with you guys so fast. What are the other shows we're looking at? Or are you able to at this point?
Well, I don't want to divulge too many of them because we're all in negotiations. We have about four shows so far lined up, which is about what our expectations were this early in the season. You know, it's interesting when you're a first company of a kind. You know, people kind of not exactly sure what to do with you. So that's where a lot of paperwork and stuff's coming in, is figure out how to get us to fit in with the action plans and things like that, but it's coming around. It's going really well. So, like I said, the military, as anything else, has a little bit extra paperwork, just because it's a government entity. But we have a couple of those shows lined up also, and we travel pretty much countrywide. Obviously, the closer it is to the East Coast, the more cost effective it is. But you know, we're willing to go, you know, nationwide to help out any show that thinks they have a gap that they need filled with our services, because, like I said, that's the ultimate goal, is to make everyone safe.
Well, I think it's great. And, of course, tonight, the Can-Am folks, one of the vehicles that you use, they're in the hangar tonight with your partner, business partner there, Joe Sarber, the fireman. You're the police officer, Joe's the fireman, and you bring together this expertise to provide Team Frost to air shows nationwide, as you heard tonight, folks. A great safety innovation that has come to the air show industry for it. The 2017 season. I think it's just terrific. And Robert, you and Joe are doing great work. The vehicles look amazing. If you want to see them for yourself, the website is quick linked into the show story tonight. It's just goforfrost.com. That's go the number four, Frost, FROST.com. Good stuff there, Bob.
I appreciate it, Matt.
Now, listen, you're a rocket guy. You like all these odd vehicles. We talk often. I want to put a little bug in your ear, and I'm just curious, when will the Hover Frost vehicle show up? I'm sure you've seen this. The quadcopter or the jet engine one that they have out now. I mean, how cool would that be? You could go anywhere within that thing.
I've seen those. I'd love one of those. That's in the future, I think.
You could just spray the foam right on top of the airplane, and it would be...
That's it.
It would be terrific. I would be more worried that you would need three or four of them, because... we'd have to wind up rescuing the Frost guy after a while, because he'd be out there investigating stuff all of the time. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Bob. And listen, seriously, though, for fast response units, fire suppression, tactical asset placement, all of that goes into your purview of work. Whenever you're looking at this stuff, you will consult and do whatever these shows need. So if there's a show that's on the fence about this, I'm telling you, again, this is not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you do not meet the needs of the requirements totally. If they just hired you, they still have to have something else.
Correct.
So
yeah,
this isn't a replacement, as you said.
We're not there to replace any airports, ARF services or rescue squads or fire departments. We're there just to augment and consult with them to basically make sure we fill that gap as far as these exotic aircraft, and make sure they're on a less than 30 seconds, and to assist with getting the pilot out and all that stuff that is bad in the first couple minutes.
Bob, my hat's off to you for this. In my opinion, this is putting us on the map with other motorsports industries that have been around a little bit longer than air shows. But again, we're not that far removed from the days of the hay trailer. And that's what I keep coming back to. I mean, the roots in this are barnstorming, and we're just now starting to really bridge the gap from those early days in the cornfield that's freshly mowed down to where we're at today with major sponsorship, hopefully in the future, but also, you know, now there's multimedia events going on within the air shows, jumbotrons, streaming content, all of this stuff that's happening now at the air show. And so to me, this is the thing that that keeps the air show off of the evening news, even if there is an incident. You guys
are
going to be there, and you're going to do it right, and you're going to do it quickly. And then we'll let the experts take it over. And as you said, you're just there to fill in the gap. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's been needed. So my hat's off to you.
Well, thanks, sir. And like I said, I think we owe it to the pilots and the flight crews and stuff. And you know, we don't, you know, heaven forbid something does happen, we want to make sure they get the best response they possibly can.
All right, Bob Yanicek, thanks for coming on tonight. Give our best to Teresa, will you? And tell Joe, tell Joe, I hope he gets it all worked out at the hangar there. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
Will do, will do. All thanks,
right.
Sir. Have
Bob,
a great night.
Bob Yanicek, everybody, from Team Frost. You can find them online there at goforfrost.com. A great company in there. They're doing wonderful work there at goforfrost.com. Team Frost, one of the many innovative ideas coming to the air show industry this year, as we're talking about safety all night long tonight and all month long tonight. We want to refocus our attention not on the way we've been doing it, but we'd love to sort of blow that balloon up a little bit further and put some more ideas out there for each and every one of us to take on and to move forward with. A big thank you, though, to tonight's sponsor from Aviate Timepieces. Again, Aviate Timepieces honor both the aircraft and the untold story of the airman. You can check them out there. Have a whole lineup of really great aviation watches. It's Aviate Timepieces, and they're online at avi-8.co.uk. And again, that's avi-8.co.uk. And you can choose from one of over six themes that they have, including the Harrier, a very popular watch, including the Spitfire. They're all there. Check them out, won't you, at avi-8.co.uk. Our thanks to our friends there at Aviate Timepieces for making tonight's broadcast possible. We'll be back with Dan Hollowell from the International Council of Air Shows with more on air show safety innovations right after this.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey, y'all, Tuck Carlson here, introducing my new video series, Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot. I don't care what you fly. Warbird pilots are the coolest, and I can teach you how to be one. Best part is, you don't even need a plane. Hell, you don't even need to know what a warbird is just by my video. Inside, you'll learn all the important stuff, like how to fit a flight suit around a beer belly, and why that beer belly is a safety feature. How to ignore small children at air shows. Ain't got time for that. How to grow your ego and sign unreadable autographs. Plus, you'll learn why freedom's the greatest answer to any question. Hey, Tuck, why do you fly these awesome airplanes? For freedom? Or when your wife finds out how much you've spent? Damn it, Tuck. Why'd you spend $6,000 on Avgas? For freedom. So for freedom's sake, buy my video. Before long, people be thinking you're somebody. You'll be sitting around campfires with real women, signing autographs, and petting pretty little baby bald eagles that you grew in redwood trees that you planted beside your hangar. Be awesome, love freedom, and get your copy of Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot right now. Hey, y'all, hurry, and I'll toss in a special bonus pack. Tuck Carlson's How to Look Good in Short Shorts Late at Night and in the Pilot Briefing. Trust me, short shorts are the coolest things ever. Call now.
Supporting these the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And welcome back here to Warbird Radio Live. Matt Jolly here, hanging out with you. Glad to be with you this evening. My thanks again to Bob Yanicek. Also, my thanks to our friends there at Aviate Timepieces. I was visiting the website there from Aviate Timepieces, and really enjoy That Spitfire watch. They're available at Nordstrom's. If you'd like to see them up close, you can go in there and check them out. They're actually available at many fine retailers. But if you want to get the best deal possible, visit them at avi-8.co.uk. Check them out, Aviator Timepieces. Moving right along now to Dan Hollowell. He is the Director of Operations from the International Council of Air Shows, an aviator by, well, by passion, and working in the air show industry by luck. Dan Hollowell, glad you're with us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Matt.
I'm just glad it's not your voicemail. I never know when we're in the middle of these shows. We do these hot calls. You never know what we're going to get. But you came to this industry via a job interview while you were at Purdue University. You were studying to be an airline pilot. You were going to go fly the line back in the day. And then something happened. Tell us the story. It's a great story, Dan.
Well, at the end of my time at Purdue University, I decided it was time to venture into the real world. I as you said, I'd been looking to be a professional airline pilot. But that was shortly after 9/11 when I was exiting college, and the hours and the time constraints that would be involved in that were just not as appealing to me. So I decided to switch into aviation management and took an internship working for the National Transportation Safety Board. And by happenstance, my counselor had an email from the president of ICAST, John Cudahy, and I sent John an email. He said they were looking to hire someone to help bring safety to top of mind awareness in the air show industry. And I sent John a quick note, and 9 years later, I'm still here.
What do you think of the industry as a whole, from where it was when you arrived to where we're at now, talking about things like frost and all of this other innovative stuff that's come down the pipe? Where's your opinion right now?
Well, I'd like to avoid hyperbole, but I would say I'm gonna ignore my own caution there, and I want to say that we've made quantum leaps just in the past 9 years that I've been here, and I know a lot of these changes had been in the works prior to my arrival, but the standardization and professionalism within the industry has just skyrocketed from programs and individuals like Frost. The dedication and professionalism with which the industry takes safety now is on a level that just frankly wasn't there as soon as 10 years ago.
Right. Well, and I think, too, that we're seeing an evolution take place within the industry. And I think it's the next generation of leaders within this industry is ready. And I think that it's moving that direction. And, of course, Dan, you've been a big part of this. What is this spring training camp that I've been hearing about? Tell us about the pilots' spring training camp, if you will.
Yeah, this was a brainchild of several veterans within the industry. They said that I'd have to defer to their knowledge of history, but back in the day, as they would say, they would get together prior to each air show season and just have a little training camp out in a remote location, and in the spring, and just knock the dust off, get the first practices in, and it would be a very low pressure environment so that they could get their first practices in, get evaluated by each other, and conduct observed practices, and that they felt was a great benefit to them as they prepared for the air show season. So as a result of that, we got together and said, that's something that we can do now. So we at ICAST said that 2017 is the year to start doing that, and we are having our first two training camps of the year next week, actually, in Delano, California, and Lakeland, Florida. We figured we'd do a West Coast and an East Coast to get some as much coverage as we could for the spring, and get people out to each of those airports and either just get some practices in, get some observations from trained aerobatic evaluators, or if they just wanted to hang out at the airport and hang out with their buddies and get some quality practice in before the air show season got underway in earnest.
I think that's great. So down in Lakeland, obviously the home of Sun and Fun, the big air show just around the corner. It's going to time out well to have sort of the dust knocked off. And then as well in California, two of these training seminars. Now, will there be the proverbial old hat pilot there to watch? The evaluator, you said, will be there. What about spectators and fans? Is this closed and off limits? Where are we at?
It absolutely is. Yeah, it is strictly for the performers to get any of the cobwebs knocked out or to practice. It is strictly spectator free. And it's just an opportunity for them to execute their performances in an environment similar to an air show, but without the added pressure of impressing spectators.
I think that's a wise decision. I'm sure the diehards will find a way to get around there and watch.
But
sure. That's always great. So spring training, another innovative idea. What are you the proudest of, Dan? What do you think? When you're looking back at this, and we were talking about the hay trailer days and the cornfields,
right.
We really have come so far. But a lot of those guys who worked with those original performers were still in the industry. Some of them still active in the industry. So I think we have to remind ourselves that we're not that far removed from the quote unquote first generation of performer. We're really not. So
we're not,
and that's surprising to a lot of people. But we're not. I mean, we've come a long way in a very short time.
Well, one of the first people that I ever worked with the ICAS ACE committee was Gene Sousty, Mr. Airshow. And as the saying goes, he's forgotten more about aerobatics than most of us will ever know. So I think that working with people like Gene and Mike Goulian and Sean Tucker and Lee Lauterbach have all been really profound influences on the air show safety. They have all lived and breathed air shows for the vast majority of their professional lives, and to have people with experience like that guiding us has been such a great benefit to not just me but to the industry as a whole, to kind of guide us in a direction that they've seen the best of the air show industry, and they've seen the stuff that we're not as thrilled with, and they can kind of, using their experience, has been a good guide to get us to the direction that we're heading in now.
All right. Well, anything stand out in your mind there? I wanted to go back to that. Anything stand out in your mind is said, man, this is a really good idea. I mean,
yeah. So we've since I've been at ICAS, we've been the first few years it was a little slower getting started, but we said we wanted to start developing a database for emergency extraction for the performers, and over the first couple of years we probably got one or two, and three or four the next year, and that database, the goal was to send each show prior to their air show the emergency extraction information for each performer at their show. And that program has really taken off with the support of Oshkosh and Sun and Fun mandating it for all the performers at their show. We've really seen a exponential growth in this program. And I believe it's the thing that I'm most proud of right now in the air show industry is the level of commitment that we're seeing from the performers to get their extraction information to us. We can provide that to the first responders in the event that something happens to their airplane. Those people that are responding to an accident or an incident have the most relevant and pertinent information to get them safely extracted from their aircraft. And that's been a long project, and it's I believe paid great dividends.
I think that's wonderful. And here's something that I'm going to throw out to the folks at home today. If you operate an odd aircraft, a Warbird, at an airport, look, I'm in a little de Havilland Chipmunk, and there is no visible canopy release from the outside. It's sort of hidden in the back. There's this button on the very back of the canopy that you push, very, very back. You wouldn't think to look back there. And that's how you get it open. If you're operating at an airport that has fire and rescue, or if it has a regular staff, here's something to think about. I mean, why not go to these folks and tell them how to get you out of this airplane? Because if it's not a 172 or something they see every day, they have no idea how to get you out of the airplane. So here's something we can take away from tonight and apply to our day-to-day operations with these vintage military airplanes that we all know and love who listen to this station, is take that advice from Dan and do something at your own airport in regard to this. Have you seen anybody do that yet, Dan?
Absolutely. And one of the most common things that we hear is that, you know, a common objection that we would hear is that it would be a performer saying, well, I fly a Mustang and you surely have a Mustang in your database, so just use that one. And just like you were saying, every aircraft has its own peculiarities in executing a safe extraction. There may be some minute difference between one P-51 and the next, and it's critical to the first responders, and when seconds truly count, that they be aware of even the smallest difference between a P-51B and a P-51D to quickly and effectively extract that performer. So the thought that only one category of aircraft would have a set extraction technique is not necessarily realistic. Everyone is different, and the more performers that that get their extraction information into us, the more we can service in a more effective manner.
You know, I love what Sean Tucker said. You and I were both there at the Bob Hoover Awards last week, and I love the line that Mr. Hoover spoke to him, where he said, "Sean, why do you love this so much?" And Sean, of course, sets it up, the story up, and he says, "Oh, man, I love the dance. I just love the dance." And you know how he gets so impassioned when he's talking this. And then Bob sort of like whacks him right between the eyes, like Mr. Hoover was so good at doing with so many folks. And he says, "Well, you better love the fans. You better love these people you're flying for. Because
absolutely,
if you go in, what was the word that he used? You rob, you steal all of their dreams? I mean, oh, my God. Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is really, I mean, that's the essence of this entire month-long show, is that we are trying to not steal their dreams. And that comes back to the little kid behind the fence watching you fly your T-6 day in and day out. And I can tell you from a narrator's perspective that the Warbird guys, our community of listeners on this show, they're the worst. They're the absolute worst when it comes to prepping for an air show. They don't bring you anything to read about them. You know, they just assume that they're either so important or they just don't care. They don't want the crowd to know, which is fine. But bring something up on the airplane. Don't assume. And for God's sakes, guys, get your extraction plans in, because you don't want that kid to have to watch this. Don't assume anything when it comes to this. So I hope the Warbird guys really get behind this and do their part in it, because a lot of those airplanes are the ones that you have problems with and you don't understand, and I get that. So hopefully they'll take
absolutely. And we've had great participation from the Warbird community, but like I said, every P-51 may have a difference that could make all the difference in the world when it comes to an incident where seconds truly count.
And that's what we're talking about, shaving the seconds off. Well, Dan Hollowell, thanks for coming on. Any final thoughts tonight before we let you get back to your evening?
No, Matt, I appreciate you inviting me on here to talk about this. This is, as we've discussed, it is really critical stuff, and I just appreciate all the work that you've done to help promote this.
Hey, thank you, Dan Hollowell. We're looking forward to seeing you around the circuit, and of course, reading your column in the greatest air show magazine out there. You can tell everybody about that. And we don't have an auxiliary membership yet, or a membership for spectators and fans. It's sort of an industry-only publication, but I think they're hopefully at some point will be a way for the fans to read this, because it is such a great publication. You do a great job of that, Dan. So,
well, thank you very much.
Thanks again,
Matt,
for coming on.
It's truly, truly an honor to hear you say that.
Well, don't take it to the bank, but it's not worth much. But thank you again, Dan. Good hearing your voice.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Have a great evening.
Dan Hollowell, everybody, there from the International Council of Air Shows, doing great work there. And you can imagine that's not an easy job that he walked into to try and tackle something as monumental as air show safety. But Dan does a great job, and John Cuddy, the whole team up there at the International Council of Air Show, is doing a great job. It is Safety Month. We're continuing our discussion next week with another great guest. In fact, I don't even want to bring up this guy's name yet, because if I do, then surely something will happen and he won't be able to attend. But we have a very nice show lined up for you next week. Want to hit it out of the park. So we're gonna save the name as we usually do. Things are always in flux this time of year in the air show and Warbird community, because schedules are bouncing around. But we have a really good guest lined up for you next week, and we're looking forward to bringing him out. Let's turn our attention now to the next show that's coming up, the RC Scale Builders Show, for their Safety Month edition. And Mike Chilson standing by. Mike, good evening. How are you?
Doing good, Matt. How about you?
Doing great. What do you have for us tonight, Mike, for your Safety Month edition?
Well, we're going to start it off with an interview with our buddy Jerry Bates. We need to catch up with him first before we get into the heavy safety stuff. But for sure, we'll be talking about checking out your models before flying season. Make sure everything's safe and ready to go for this.
You always have a lot of interesting ideas when it comes to this. And we talk about giant scale radio-controlled aircraft and all that kind of stuff. Something that always comes to mind is spectator safety and, in this case, the pilot's safety.
Right.
You always have some really nice ideas. And I like to go back and listen to some of these old Safety Month shows that you have, because you do some good. One thing I want you to add to your list this week is drone safety and trying not to send data back to nations that want that data. Is that going to be covered in this show tonight, Mike? Because we're finding out more and more about these drones and how they're made, and these cameras and the GPS sensors and all this stuff. And all of this data seems to be going back to the country they were made in for some reason, Mike. And I don't know if that's any safer than flying the silly thing over your neighbor's backyard with the potential. I mean, what's more dangerous, right? But that's probably a show for another day, didn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But we'll definitely touch on that, too. That's definitely something to take into consideration.
Well, hey, it's a D.C.-based show, at least for a little while longer. So we gotta fan the flames here every once in a while.
That's right. I mean,
down there in Alabama, I mean, I know you have an opinion on just about anything if you're down in Alabama. So,
nah, I don't know why you'd say that.
Right, I've known you way too long. Hey, by the way, Mike, congratulations to Jerry Bates for his continued safety record, and I know that's really the real reason you had him on. How long has Jerry been in business now?
Oh gosh, I don't know. A long time. It's been well over 20 some odd years now.
And tell everybody how many sets of plans that Jerry Bates has produced that have not killed anyone.
None of them.
None of them have killed anyone. That is a stellar safety record. A few paper cuts out there, but nobody has died from a set of Jerry Bates plans. There, a pair. He builds stuff that has
unique,
4 and 5 sheets in those plans. So good old Jerry.
That's
Bates.
A unique perspective on his plan business. We'll have to bring that up to
that's
him.
Right.
And see what he says.
All right. Well, Jerry Bates going to be on tonight. Going to be a good time. Jerry's always fun.
Yeah.
He's always a good guest and very lively. Has he gotten any more excitable in his retirement? Because every time he comes on, he sort of sounds like he's just kind of preoccupied.
Well, let me just preface this by saying that I no longer call him before 11 a.m. How about that?
Okay, so he's settled down just a little bit now.
Yeah, he's in full force retirement.
Well, you and I know that if folks go back and listen, there is a show that sounds very much like a toilet flushing in the middle of the show, the Jerry Bates
movie. Oh, no, that was David Heil.
Was that David Heil?
We've had
a few
right
of
right at the beginning of the show
that we all sort of joke about, but that was in the archive at one point. But
we need to find that, get him on the show, and play that back for him so he can hear it.
No, I'm thinking about Jerry's chair. It was his chair that made all the noise.
Oh yeah, I told him to be sure and spray some WD-40 on his chair this time.
I had my show stories mixed up there. All right. Well, it's going to be fun tonight. So see, folks, tune in. It's going to be
fun.
You may not learn anything about modeling, but you're going to hear something fun with Jerry. tonight.
You're going to hear things that you've never heard before on live radio.
That's right. Well, that happens routinely around here. So
absolutely, absolutely.
All right, good stuff, Mike. And I'm looking forward to hearing the safety discussion afterwards. You always have some great stuff. LiPo batteries, big topics, how to keep those things from blowing up and how to keep those things safe. And it's going to be a fun show tonight. Looking forward to it. It all gets underway in about 10 minutes or so. So thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming on with a little preview, and we'll talk to you in about 9 minutes for the start of your show, the RC Scale Builder Show. Gets underway.
Sounds good, pal.
Before you go, have you checked out the folks there at Aviator Timepieces, Mike?
You know, I have not, but I was just listening to the show and heard you talking about it.
Let me give you the website.
I have to go check that out, you know?
I'll give you the website. You can type it in. It's avi-8. .co.uk. Again, avi-8.co.uk. And they have some terrific watches that would love to come home with you. Six different themes, if you will, and all there. The Harrier, which is a crowd favorite. I like the Spitfire. They also have a Hurricane and they have a whole lot of stuff on there, but it's avi-8.co.uk. A friend of the show, and we couldn't do it without him. So my thanks to avi-8.co.uk. That's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
You know, you did better than I did. I would have like already stumbled on it. So.
All right, Mike. Thanks for coming on, bud. Talk to you in a few minutes.
I will talk to you in a few.
Mike Chilson, an all-new RC Scale Builder show coming up right after this. My thanks tonight to Robert Janicek and to Joe Sarber, who was busy at work tonight. With Team Frost getting everything ready for this coming weekend's debut air show for Team Frost. Again, you can find out more information on Team Frost by visiting their website, go4frost.com. It's quick linked in tonight's show story. Also, a big thank you to Dan Hollowell, the Director of Operations for the International Council of Air Shows. Their website as well is quick linked into the show story tonight. If you're a performer, if you're a Warbird operator, it doesn't matter. If you touch air shows at all, you should be a member of the International Council of Air Shows. Why not? You get a great magazine, and you get the love and support of an entire community and family of people that want to make you safer in what you're doing. It's a great organization and one that we all really cherish. So please consider joining if you're a pilot that has an arm's length even at air shows. I think you'd enjoy it. Or if you're support personnel, whatever it is, give them a look. Again, our thanks to avi-8.co.uk from Aviate Timepieces. Our thanks to them. And remember, if you saw a veteran this week or if you see one walking around, tell them how much you appreciate it. Believe me, that goes so long. And it goes a long way, not only in doing the Warbird stuff, but just in day-to-day living. If you see a vet, please tell them thank you as we close out every single show here at Warbird Radio. So long. Until next week. Take care, everyone.